And he says also that Zotticus, who was mentioned by the former writer, 29, when Maximilla was pretending to prophesy in Pipusa, resisted her and endeavored to refute the spirit that was working in her, but was prevented by those who agreed with her. He mentions also a certain Thrasys, 30, among the martyrs of that time. He speaks, moreover, of a tradition that the Savior commanded his apostles not to depart from Jerusalem for 12 years. 31, he uses testimonies also from the revelation of John, 32, and he relates that a dead man had, through the divine power, been raised by John himself in Ephesus. 38, he also adds other things by which he fully and abundantly exposes the error of the heresy, of which we have been speaking. Point, these are the matters recorded by Apollonius. Chapter 10. Ex Serapion on the heresy of the Phrygians. 1. Serapion, 1, who, as report says, succeeded Maximinus II, at that time as bishop of the Church of Antioch, mentions the works of Apollinarius III, against the above-mentioned heresy, and he alludes to him in a private letter to Caracas and Pontius, 4, in which he himself exposes the same heresy, and adds the following words, 5. 2. That you may see, that the doings of this lying band of the new prophecy, so-called, are an abomination to all the brotherhood throughout the world, I have sent you writings, 6, of the most blessed Claudius Apollinarius, bishop of Hierapolis in Asia. 3. In the same letter of Serapion the signatures 3 of several bishops are found, 7, one of whom subscribes himself as follows. I, Aurelius Serenius, a witness, 8, pray for your health. And another in this manner. Ilius Publius Julius, 9. Bishop of Debeltum, a colony of Thrace. 1. As God liveth in the heavens, the blessed Sotison Anchitalus desired to cast the demon out of Priscilla, but the hypocrites did not permit him. 10. 4. And the autographed signatures of many other bishops who agreed with them are contained in the same letter. So much for these persons. Chapter 10. X. The writings of Irenaeus against the schismatics at Rome. 1. Irenaeus 1. Wrote several letters against those who were disturbing the sound ordinance of the church at Rome. One of them was to Blastus on schism, 2, another to Florinus on monarchy, 3, or that God is not the author of evil, for Florinus seemed to be defending this opinion, and because he was being drawn away by the error of Valentinus, Irenaeus wrote his work on the Ogdoad, 4, in which he shows that he himself had been acquainted with the first successors of the apostles, 5, 2. At the close of the treatise we have found a most beautiful note which we are constrained to insert in this work, 6, it runs as follows. I adjure thee who mayest copy this book, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his glorious advent, when he comes to judge the living and the dead, to compare what thou shalt write, and correct it carefully by this manuscript, and also to write this adjuration, and place it in the copy. 3. These things may be profitably read in his work, and related by us, that we may have those ancient and truly holy men as the best example of painstaking carefulness. 4. In the letter to Florinus, of which we have spoken, 7, Irenaeus mentions again his intimacy with Polycarp, saying, these doctrines, O Florinus, to speak mildly, are not of sound judgment. These doctrines disagree with the church, and drive into the greatest impiety those who accept them. These doctrines, not even the heretics outside of the church, have ever dared to publish. These doctrines, the presbyters who were before us, and who were companions of the apostles, did not deliver to thee. 5. For when I was a boy, I saw thee in Lower Asia with Polycarp, moving in splendor in the royal court, 8, and endeavoring to gain his approbation, 6. I remember the events of that time more clearly than those of recent years. For what boys learn, growing with their mind, becomes enjoined with it, so that I'm able to describe the very place in which the blessed Polycarp sat as he discoursed, and his goings out, and his comings in, and the manner of his life, and his physical appearance, and his discourses to the people, and the accounts which he gave of his intercourse with John, and with the others, who had seen the Lord, and as he remembered their words, and what he heard from them concerning the Lord, and concerning his miracles and his teaching, having received them from eyewitnesses of the word of life. 9. Polycarp related all things in harmony with the scriptures. 7. These things being told me by the mercy of God, I listened to them attentively, noting them down, not on paper, but in my heart. And continually, through God's grace, I recall them faithfully, and I'm able to bear witness before God that, if that blessed and apostolic presbyter had heard any such thing, he would have cried out, and stopped his ears, and as was his custom, would have exclaimed, O good God, unto what times hast thou spared me, that I should endure these things? And he would have fled from the place where, sitting or standing, he had heard such words. 10. 8. And this can be shown plainly from the letters 11, which he sent, either to the neighboring churches for their confirmation, or to some of the brethren, admonishing and exhorting them. Thus far Irenaeus. Chapter 10.6. How Apollonius suffered martyrdom at Rome. 1. About the same time, in the reign of Commodus, our condition became more favorable, and through the grace of God the churches throughout the entire world enjoyed peace. 1. And the word of salvation was leading every soul, from every race of man to the devout worship of the God of the universe, so that now in Rome many who were highly distinguished for wealth and family turned with all their household and relatives unto their salvation. 2. But the demon who hates what is good, being malignant in his nature, could not endure this, but prepared himself again for conflict, contriving many devices against us, and he brought to the judgment seat Apollonius, 2, of the city of Rome, a man renowned among the faithful for learning and philosophy, having stirred up one of his servants, who was well fitted for such a purpose, to accuse him. 3. But this wretched man made the charge unseasonably, because by a royal decree it was unlawful that informers of such things should live, and his legs were broken immediately, Quirinius the judge having pronounced this sentence upon him. 4. But the martyr, highly beloved of God, being earnestly entreated and requested by the judge to give an account of himself before the Senate, made in the presence of all an eloquent defense of the faith for which he was witnessing, and as if by decree of the Senate he was put to death by decapitation, an ancient law requiring that those who were brought to the judgment seat and refused to recant should not be liberated. 5. Whoever desires to know his arguments before the judge and his answers to the questions of Perennius, and his entire defense before the Senate, will find them in the records of the ancient martyrdoms which we have collected. 6. Chapter 10.6 I. The bishops that were well known at this time. In the 10th year of the reign of Commodus, Victor I, succeeded Eleutherus, 2, the latter having held the episcopate for 13 years. In the same year, after Julian had completed his 10th year, Demetrius IV, received the charge of the parishes at Alexandria. At this time the above-mentioned Serapion, 5, the 8th from the apostles, was still well known as bishop of the church at Antioch. Theophilus 6, presided at Caesarea in Palestine, and Narcissus, 7, whom we have mentioned before, still had charge of the church at Jerusalem. Baculus 8, at the same time was bishop of Corinth in Greece, and Polycrates 9, of the parish of Ephesus. And besides these a multitude of others, as is likely, were then prominent. But we have given the names of those alone, the soundness of whose faith has come down to us in writing. Chapter 23 The question then agitated concerning the Passover. 1. A question of no small importance arose at that time, for the parishes of all Asia, as from an older tradition, held that the 14th day of the moon, on which day the Jews were commanded to sacrifice the lamb, should be observed as the feast of the Savior's Passover. 1. It was therefore necessary to end their fast on that day, whatever day of the week it should happen to be. But it was not the custom of the churches in the rest of the world to end it at this time, as they observed the practice which, from apostolic tradition, has prevailed to the present time, of terminating the fast on no other day than on that of the resurrection of our Savior. 2. Synods and assemblies of bishops were held on this account, 2, and all, with one consent, through mutual correspondence drew up an ecclesiastical decree, that the mystery of the resurrection of the Lord should be celebrated on no other, but the Lord's Day, and that we should observe the close of the Paschal fast on this day only. There is still extant a writing of those who were then assembled in Palestine, over whom Theophilus, 3, bishop of Caesarea, and Narcissus, bishop of Jerusalem, presided. And there is also another writing extant of those who were assembled at Rome to consider the same question, which bears the name of Bishop Victor IV, also of the bishops in Pontus over whom Palmus, 5, as the oldest, presided, and of the parishes in Gaul of which Irenaeus was bishop, and of those in Osrhaene 6, and the cities there 3, and the personal letter of Baculus, 7, bishop of the church at Corinth, and of a great many others, who uttered the same opinion and judgment, and cast the same vote, and that which has been given above was their unanimous decision. 8. Chapter 10.6 IV The disagreement in Asia. 1. But the bishops of Asia, led by Polycrates, decided to hold to the old custom handed down to them. 1. He himself, in a letter which he addressed to Victor, and the Church of Rome, set forth in the following words the tradition which had come down to him too. 2. We observe the exact day, neither adding, nor taking away, for in Asia also great lights have fallen asleep, which shall rise again on the day of the Lord's coming, when he shall come with glory from heaven, and shall seek out all the saints. Among these are Philip, one of the 12 apostles, who fell asleep in Hierapolis, and his 2 aged virgin daughters, and another daughter, who lived in the Holy Spirit and now rests at Ephesus 3, and, moreover, John, who was both a witness and a teacher, who reclined upon the bosom of the Lord, and, being a priest, wore the sacerdotal plate. He fell asleep at Ephesus. 4. And Polycarp 3, in Smyrna, who was a bishop and martyr in Phrases. 4. Bishop and martyr from Eumenia, who fell asleep in Smyrna. 5. Why need I mention the bishop and martyr Sagaras 5, who fell asleep in Laodicea, or the blessed Papirius, 6, or Melito, 7, the eunuch who lived altogether in the Holy Spirit, and who lies in Sardis, awaiting the episcopate from heaven, when he shall rise from the dead, 6. All these observed the 14th day of the Passover according to the gospel, deviating in no respect, but following the rule of faith, 8, and I also, Polycrates, the least of you all, to according to the tradition of my relatives, some of whom I have closely followed. For 7 of my relatives were bishops and I'm the 8th. And my relatives always observed the day when the people 9, put away the leaven. 7. I, therefore, brethren, who have lived 65 years in the Lord, and have met with the brethren throughout the world, and have gone through every holy scripture, am not affrighted by terrifying words. For those greater than I have said we ought to obey God rather than man, 10, 8. He then writes of all the bishops who were present with him, and thought as he did. His words are as follows. I could mention the bishops who were present, whom I summoned at your desire 11, whose names, should I write them, would constitute a great multitude. And they, beholding my littleness, gave their consent to the letter, knowing that I did not bear my gray hairs in vain, but had always governed my life by the Lord Jesus. 9. Thereupon Victor, who presided over the church at Rome, immediately attempted to cut off from the common unity the parishes of all Asia, with the churches, that agreed with them, as heterodox, and he wrote letters, and declared all the brethren their holy excommunicate. 12, 10. But this did not please all the bishops, and they besought him to consider the things of peace, and of neighborly unity and love. Words of theirs are extant, sharply rebuking Victor. 11. Among them was Irenaeus, who, sending letters in the name of the brethren in Gaul over whom he presided, maintained that the mystery of the resurrection of the Lord should be observed only on the Lord's day. He fittingly admonishes Victor, that he should not cut off whole churches of God which observed the tradition of an ancient custom, and after many other words he proceeds as follows. 13. 12. For the controversy is not only concerning the day, but also concerning the very manner of the fast. For some think, that they should fast one day, others two, yet others more some, moreover, count their day as consisting 13 of 40 hours day and night. 14, 13. And this variety in its observance, has not originated in our time, but long before, in that of our ancestors. 15. It is likely, that they did not hold to strict accuracy, and thus formed a custom for their posterity according to their own simplicity and peculiar mode. Yet all of these lived nonetheless in peace, and we also live in peace with one another, and the disagreement in regard to the fast confirms the agreement in the faith. 14. He adds to this the following account, which I may properly insert. Among these were the presbyters before Soter, who presided over the church which thou now rulest. We mean Anicetus, and Plus, and Hyginus, and Telesphorus, and Xistus. They neither observed it 16, themselves, nor did they permit those after them to do so. And yet though not observing it, they were nonetheless at peace with those who came to them from the parishes in which it was observed, although this observance was more opposed to those who did not observe it. 17, 15. But none were ever cast out on account of this form, but the presbyters before thee who did not observe it, sent the Eucharist to those of other parishes who observed it. 18, 16. And when the blessed Polycarp was at Rome 19, in the time of Anicetus, and they disagreed little about certain other things, they immediately made peace with one another, not caring to quarrel over this matter. For neither could Anicetus persuade Polycarp not to observe what he had always observed with John the disciple of our Lord, and the other apostles with whom he had associated. Neither could Polycarp persuade Anicetus to observe it, as he said, that he ought to follow the customs of the presbyters that had preceded him. 17. But though matters were in this shape, they communed together, and Anicetus conceded the administration of the Eucharist in the church to Polycarp, manifestly as a mark of respect. 20. And they parted from each other in peace, both those who observed, and those who did not, maintaining the peace of the whole church. 18. Thus Irenaeus, who truly was well named, 21, became a peacemaker in this matter, exhorting and negotiating in this way in behalf of the peace of the churches. And he conferred by letter about this mooted question, not only with Victor, but also with most of the other rulers of the churches. 22. Chapter 10.6v. How all came to an agreement respecting the Passover. Those in Palestine, whom we have recently mentioned, Narcissus and Theophilus, 1, and with them Cassius, 2, bishop of the church of Tyre, and Clarus of the church of Ptolemais, and those who met with them, 3, having stated many things respecting the tradition concerning the Passover which had come to them in succession from the apostles, at the close of their writing, add these words. 4. Endeavor to send copies of our letter to every church, that we may not furnish occasion to those who easily deceive their souls. We show you indeed that also in Alexandria they keep it on the same day that we do. For letters are carried from us to them, and from them to us, so that in the same manner, and at the same time we keep the sacred day. 5. Chapter 10.6 VI. The elegant works of Irenaeus which have come down to us. Besides the works and letters of Irenaeus which we have mentioned, 1, a certain book of his unknowledge, written against the Greeks, 2, very concise and remarkably forcible, is extant, and another, which he dedicated to a brother Martian, in demonstration of the apostolic preaching, 3, and a volume containing various dissertations, 4, in which he mentions the epistle to the Hebrews and the so-called Wisdom of Solomon, making quotations from them. These are the works of Irenaeus which have come to our knowledge. Commodus, having ended his reign after 13 years, Severus became emperor in less than 6 months after his death, Pertinax having reigned during the intervening time. 5. Chapter 27. The works of others, that flourished at that time. Numerous memorials of the faithful zeal of the ancient ecclesiastical men of that time are still preserved by many. Of these we would note particularly the writings of Heraclitus I, on the Apostle, and those of Maximus on the question so much discussed among heretics, the origin of evil, and on the creation of matter. 2. Also those of Candidus on the Hexameron. 3. And of Apion. 4. On the same subject likewise of Sextus. 5. On the resurrection, and another treatise of Arabinus. 6. And writings of a multitude of others, in regard to whom, because we have no data, it is impossible to state in our work when they lived, or to give any account of their history. 7. And works of many others have come down to us whose names we are unable to give, orthodox and ecclesiastical, as their interpretations of the divine scriptures show, but unknown to us, because their names are not stated in their writings. 8. Chapter 28. Those who first advanced the heresy of Artem in their manner of life, and how they dared to corrupt the sacred scriptures. 1. In a laborious work by one of these writers against the heresy of Artemon, one which Paul of Samosata too, attempted to revive again in our day, there is an account appropriate to the history which we are now examining. 2. For he criticizes, as a late innovation, the above-mentioned heresy which teaches, that the Savior was a mere man, because they were attempting to magnify it as ancient. Having given in his work many other arguments and refutation of their blasphemous falsehood, he adds the following words. 3. For they say that all the early teachers and the apostles received, and taught what they now declare, and that the truth of the gospel was preserved until the times of Victor, who was the 13th bishop of Rome from Peter. 4. But that from his successor, Sapphirinus. 5. The truth had been corrupted. 4. And what they say might be plausible, if first of all the divine scriptures did not contradict them. And there are writings of certain brethren older than the times of Victor, which they wrote in behalf of the truth against the heathen, and against the heresies which existed in their day. I refer to Justin 6, and Melchiade 7, and Tatian 8, and Clement 9, and many others, in all of whose works Christ is spoken of as God. 10. 5. For who does not know the works of Irenaeus 11, and of Melito 12, and of others which teach, that Christ is God and man. 13. And how many psalms and hymns, 14, written by the faithful brethren from the beginning, celebrate Christ the Word of God, speaking of him as divine. 6. How then, since the opinion held by the Church has been preached for so many years, can its preaching have been delayed as they affirm, until the times of Victor? And how is it, that they are not ashamed to speak thus falsely of Victor, knowing well that he cut off from communion Theodotus, the cobbler? 15. The leader and father of this God-denying apostasy, and the first to declare, that Christ is mere man. For if Victor agreed with their opinions, as their slander affirms, how came he to cast out Theodotus, the inventor of this heresy? 7. So much in regard to Victor. His bishopric lasted 10 years, and Zephyrinus was appointed his successor about the 9th year of the reign of Severus. 16. The author of the above-mentioned book, concerning the founder of this heresy, narrates another event which occurred in the time of Zephyrinus, using these words. 8. I will remind many of the brethren of a fact which took place in our time, which, had it happened in Sodom, might, I think, have proved a warning to them. There was a certain confessor, Natalius, 17, not long ago, but in our own day. 9. This man was deceived at one time by Asclepiodotus, 18, and another Theodotus, 19, a money changer. Both of them were disciples of Theodotus, the cobbler, who, as I have said, was the first person excommunicated by Victor, bishop at that time, on account of this sentiment, or rather senselessness. 20. 10. Natalius was persuaded by them to allow himself to be chosen bishop of this heresy with a salary, to be paid by them, of 150 denarii a month. 21. 11. When he had thus connected himself with them, he was warned oftentimes by the Lord through visions. For the compassionate God and our Lord Jesus Christ was not willing that a witness of his own sufferings, being cast out of the church, should perish. 12. But as he paid little regard to the visions, because he was ensnared by the first position among them, and by that shameful covetousness, which destroys a great many, he was scourged by holy angels, and punished severely through the entire night. 22. Thereupon, having risen in the morning, he put on sackcloth, and covered himself with ashes, and with great haste and tears he fell down before Zephyrinus, the bishop, rolling at the feet not only of the clergy, but also of the laity, and he moved with his tears the compassionate church of the merciful Christ. And though he used much supplication, and showed the welts of the stripes which he had received, yet scarcely was he taken back into communion. 13. We will add from the same writer some other extracts concerning them, which run as follows. 23. They have treated the divine scriptures recklessly and without fear. They have set aside the rule of ancient faith and Christ they have not known. They do not endeavor to learn what the divine scriptures declare, but strive laboriously after any form of syllogism which may be devised to sustain their impiety. And if anyone brings before them a passage of divine scripture, they see whether a conjunctive or disjunctive form of syllogism can be made from it. 14. And as being of the earth, and speaking of the earth, and as ignorant of him who cometh from above, they forsake the holy writings of God, to devote themselves to geometry. 24. Euclid is laboriously measured. 25. By some of them, and Aristotle and Theophrastus are admired, and Galen, perhaps, by some is even worshipped. 15. But that those who use the arts of unbelievers for their heretical opinions, and adulterate the simple faith of the divine scriptures by the craft of the godless, are far from the faith. What need is there to say? Therefore they have laid their hands boldly upon the divine scriptures, alleging that they have corrected them. 16. That I'm not speaking falsely of them in this matter, whoever wishes may learn. For if anyone will collect their respective copies, and compare them one with another, you will find that they differ greatly. 17. Those of Asclepiades, 26, for example, do not agree with those of Theodotus. And many of these can be obtained, because their disciples have assiduously written the corrections, as they call them, that is the corruptions, 27, of each of them. Again, those of Hermophilus, 28, do not agree with these, and those of Apollonides, 29, are not consistent with themselves. For you can compare those prepared by them at an earlier date with those which they corrupted later, and you will find them widely different. 18. But how daring this offense is, it is not likely that they themselves are ignorant. For either they do not believe that the divine scriptures were spoken by the Holy Spirit, and thus are unbelievers, or else they think themselves wiser than the Holy Spirit, and in that case, what else are they than demoniacs? For they cannot deny the commission of the crime, since the copies have been written by their own hands. For they did not receive such scriptures from their instructors, nor can they produce any copies from which they were transcribed. 19. But some of them have not thought it worth while to corrupt them, but simply deny the law and the prophets. 30. And thus through their lawless and impious teaching under pretense of grace, have sunk to the lowest depths of perdition. Let this suffice for these things.